Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by three HR professionals who want to help you get through the workday by saying all the things you're thinking, but say them out loud. I'm Warren.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jan.
All right. As you can hear, we got Jan Janerson back. I think this is number four.
I know. I'm awesome. Becoming a fixture. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Checks.
But in terms of financial, this episode is brought to you by our Patreon supporter, Hallie, who's the original Jaded HR rock star. Thank you very much. And if you want to support the show, you can support us in four different ways. You can be a Patreon like Hallie, you can leave a review, you can tell a friend, or you can contribute some material, a story or something along those lines. Those are all great ways to help our podcast
Thanks, Hallie.
Grow.
I was just telling my mom about you. You're awesome.
So Jan, it's been a few, I don't even know, it was a few months ago we did our last episode with you, so
how are
things going over at Not Sherm Approved?
They're going really great. I dipped my toe into the waters of sponsorship, so I found a really great company that does ethical background checks and different scope of work like that. So we did a little work together.
Nice.
I went viral.
Uh-oh.
I was super excited. And why did I go viral? Because I was ripping apart a douchebag. So frankly, I think that's the best reason to go viral.
Remember that. I read all your posts. Now, I know the algorithm doesn't always show me absolutely everything, but
yeah, there was an entrepreneur, and I use that term very loosely, that was advertising for a personal assistant. And the things that he was advertising for, he wasn't advertising for a personal assistant. He was advertising for a mommy / maid / wife / property manager. It was seven different jobs. As it turns out, I think he was paying less than $60,000. In San Diego.
There you go. Yeah.
For California. Personal assistant. Stop.
That's fair, yeah.
Don't even try to defend that. The fact that it is under six figures two times over is insanity. Go back. I have a highlight. So we started a trend of cringe job ads. So that's been really fun. And everybody's been submitting different job ads. And so, we're getting a little more aggressive, a little more, hey, look at this bullshit. We did something today where we were examining assessments. In particular, we were talking about the Wunderlic assessment, the one that they use for apparently NFL quarterbacks and doesn't even begin to touch any level of corporate job. So it was really fun.
Warren and I can talk a lot about assessment, unnecessary assessments at work.
You go.
Did you ever get certified as an analyst, an assessment analyst?
You see, Warren, the good thing about desperation is when they're desperate for a hire, sometimes they skip things.
Oh, I know. You're speaking of something different. I'm thinking of. Yes, a very interesting assessment. We'll have to discuss that one off air one day. That's
That'll be a teaser Patreon bonus episode.
Maybe that would be a Patreon bonus episode discussing that, because
we gotta pay for us to tell all of our dirty personal secrets.
That's right. So if you want to be the jaded HR sugar mama that Haley is, then Haley. Come on, join the Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. So the topic, the primary topic I wanted to roll into today was stupid HR policies.
Oh, yeah.
And we've all worked places that have had dumb policies, and there's any number of things that can make a policy dumb. Maybe it's just, it makes no sense and people aren't going to follow it. Maybe because it's so outdated, it's not followed in at all, and people forget it's in the handbook or what have you. So I don't know. And then there's just, what the fuck were you thinking type of policies as well. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I got one of them.
You had a great one, and it talks about two of my favorite things. So I wanted you to start with yours, please.
Okay. So I had a community member submit in a policy that, so a little bit of background. She's in insurance. She was in human resources, but the company outsourced human resources and put her into a different type of administrative position. And recently the company is requiring everyone to sign an agreement that says that they will delete all personal LinkedIn contacts who are also still in the insurance industry. So effectively, what they're trying to prevent them from doing is networking, right? They're trying to prevent people from leaving. This is the desperate bullshit that people are getting to in terms of trying to keep employees, retain employees. I mean, companies will do backflips before they will do the right thing. But some of the scope, the policy applies to all employees, contractors, and consultants who utilize social media platforms for professional networking and relationships. Staff shall not initiate or accept LinkedIn invitations or similar social media platform invitations with anyone in the life insurance industry other than with colleagues who are actively at work. So they aren't allowed to be in a network with people who have legally left the fucking company. A regular self-audit, they go on, should be conducted on the employee's LinkedIn account to ensure these insurance industry connections are purged. And here is their violations. Violations and enforcements. Any known violations of this policy will and should be reported to the chief operating officer. I'm sorry. This is
good use of their
ridiculous.
Time.
Yeah. Violations of this policy can result in immediate withdrawal or suspension of system and network privileges. Okay, so you're going to take away my ability to do the job you're paying me for?
Yeah.
Okay. And or disciplinary action in accordance with company procedures up to and including termination of employment. So what I want to know is, first of all, who in the fuck, right? Just who thought this would even be even close to a good idea? And secondly, any lawyers that are listening to this podcast, please tell mm-hmm. me how this does not dovetail straight into the National Labor Relations Act. Please tell me how this doesn't prohibit concerted gathering behavior, like activity. Like, tell me how this isn't union busting. Okay, go.
I cannot answer that for you. But I do think they're way overstepping their bounds. And then, are they enforcing it so Jake from State Farms can't be friends with Flo from Progressive on LinkedIn anymore? I mean, wow, you know.
Yeah, not if they work at that company. So
yeah, I'm just amazed. But the enforcement ability. I mean, is somebody going to be going around and looking at everybody's LinkedIn profile and then all of their connections? I mean, I'm sure you can hire some company in India to do it for $2 or $3 or something like that, but you can.
Well, it's a self-audit, but the enforceability. Warren.
It's a self-audit.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, this is an honor system. So real stern probably makes a lot of sense that they just riled up their entire employee population in the middle of what they're calling the great resignation. But,
don't use that term.
Choices.
No.
Love those buzzwords.
No, and that's the thing. Just why stir the pot? Why get your employees riled up? Especially, you're going to have the people who turn just a little molehill into a mountain. And this is the worst thing ever. Oh, my God, my life has come to an end. And I just don't know. It seems completely useless. I want to know the why behind it.
And is this a case of, like, we've done bad HR departments before, like, segments. So is this a case of a power-hungry HR department? Is this a case of HR just doing what they're told? Like, HR already has such a bad rap. So, like, where is this even coming from, I wonder?
Well, in the beginning, she disclosed that she was their HR person and they moved her to a different department and outsourced the HR.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So I guess maybe Jazz HR's gotten a little aggressive. Bamboo HR is like really starting to dig in. I don't really know, but there's no way that that wasn't written by a lawyer.
So. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Don't go out to lunch with former coworkers just to chill and reminisce.
You are, and you hate networking. So
I hate networking, but you gave me kudos a couple of weeks ago because I'm stepping out of my shell.
Yes.
There you go. We also dissected something on the Not Sure I'm Approved community. It was somebody going off in a company. They were really, really mad that three people happened to give notice in one day. It is a company that is primarily made up of sales consultants, and apparently the money is super incredible because they declared that it was required for all employees to give 6 months notice from that day forward. That they needed to stick around to train their replacements fully, and that they would be dismissed under the discretion of the company at that time if the 6 months hadn't expired. But like, right to work at will. It literally doesn't fucking work that way.
If they're going to require a 6 month notice, so. Are if they're no longer happy with me, are they going to give me 6 weeks separation pay? Or are they going to turn the tables, you know, a little quid pro quo on that? I'd love to. Obviously, nobody's going to do that. Getting separation in these days and times is not as common as it used to be. And I definitely don't see 6 months happening. If you're going to make it one way, make it the other way as well.
No, agreed. It's beyond unreasonable. And just like the insurance company trying to dictate who people can and can't connect with, can't even begin to fathom like how they're going to enforce that. But it's unenforceable. How do you force somebody to sit there for six? Let me tell you something. You tell me to give you 6 months notice. Those are going to be the most fun 6 months of my adult life. I am not getting shit done. I am stealing absolutely everything that isn't nailed down. Just like, why would they even begin to think that anyone would be productive at that point?
Oh, you know, talk about short timer syndrome. I mean, that's drawing it out. The last 2 weeks of somebody who actually works out their notice is historically not very productive 2 weeks for them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's my stupid policy. What's your stupid policy, Warren?
Well, this comes to me from a neighbor. We were chit-chatting over the weekend. So she is the manager of a division in a company. And in the last few months, due to the great resignation, they've lost a few people and they had to reshuffle some people around. She's very anti-HR. And this type of story leads to tell you why, but she did the whole HR thing, got it posted, announced it, interviewed the people in her team that applied and made the internal hires and then backfilled them with newbies. So did all that. Hmm. Well, what happens 2 weeks later is someone else on their team unexpectedly left. And one of the people that was just promoted would be even better than that person who's leaving in that position. They wanted to move them into that position, do everything. Nope. but the company has a policy. You must be in your new position for 90 days before you can even apply for a new position within the company. And I'm just thinking, how short-sighted is that? Because situations change on the fly, and you'd be the best person for this job I can even think of, even better than the predecessor, but you're going to not, you haven't been here 90 days, so you can't even apply for it. She was really pissed, and she's venting about her stupid HR department and things like that. But her solution is, fine, fuck them. I'll drag this hiring process out over 90 days and still hire the, and she said the worst thing is the person is going to be doing the job anyway, because there's nobody else to do it and it needs to be done. So it's a stupid policies like that, where you can't deviate from your policy. If you have a policy, great, but you also have to have some leeway. Okay, this isn't ideal, this isn't what we want to happen, but it's reality that we're looking at, and hey, we've got to allow this person to apply for another job in less than 90 days or something like that. It's just,
I just don't understand why they couldn't make an exception. That's,
yeah,
policies are there as kind of the baseline. Yeah, they're there as the baseline, but I talk about this all the time. That's book HR, and then there's like actual real life HR with human beings that are super messy and don't come in tiny little boxes that you can just stack on a shelf. So it's not that they can't get around the policy. They refuse to. So yeah, she's right. Their HR department sucks.
Yeah. And like I said, she's already anti-HR from the get-go and will let me know that any time the opportunity arises. So
how magnanimous of her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's actually quite funny oftentimes to hear what's going on at her. At her company. I know, I don't think I included you on the to-do list, Patrick. Did you have any policies that you think are completely stupid that you wanted to talk about?
Well, Jan's actually reminded me of one I came across on Reddit this week, so I was trying to find it, and there was an email that someone posted that they got from, and I don't know if this is from the HR department or just from some boss, but it was like, three of you submitted your 2 weeks notice all at once. How are you not?
Oh, this is that
same
yeah,
one.
Yeah, this is that one I was talking about. Yeah.
How are you not thinking about your coworkers' lives outside of this and their children? To say, they're not only are they, you have to give, this one says 3 months notice, but you're also, they're docking their pay by $6 an hour since you will be leaving you. Like, that's in this email. They have this email here.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I was like, yeah, that sounds so familiar.
Yeah,
but
that's the exact same one.
It is.
So it wasn't 6 months. It was 3 months. But you know,
regardless, that's just.
It's stupid. It's a stupid policy.
It
or
is,
email or whatever.
It's things like that. It's why, and we've talked about this all the time, is HR's reputation is so bad. But there are some very bad, I guess, HR professionals or HR policies, or it's just bosses that get lumped in with HR that kind of give us that reputation. But man, yeah, I can't go on Reddit a lot of those times because it just, I feel bad being in this part of the industry, because you're like, man, I'm not a bad person. Everyone I know in HR is like a really good person. And I think if you don't see the side of some of the things that we have to deal with, then maybe why it might come off that way. But
that's what happens when you hire people.
Yeah,
that's true. I came across, this is a completely different topic, but it was a Glassdoor alert that someone posted, and the alert is employer legal action. This employer has taken legal action against reviewers and or Glassdoor for the reviews that have appeared on this profile. Please exercise your best judgment when evaluating this employer. Like,
wow.
Have any of y'all ever seen anything like that?
No,
I've never
seen that.
And what do you have to put on Glassdoor to to make an employer do something like that?
I don't know that you have to do anything more than kind of share your opinion. I feel like, you know, this, so many people have like,
unless
lost
they were
their
disclosing
minds over feedback. Like, if you're not actually doing these things, what are you losing your mind over? Right? It's the ultimate defensiveness projection.
Yeah. Like, so like, when you see that, do you dig any further in this company? Like,
Oh, I want to know more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would love to know what company this was.
As an applicant, do you dig any further?
Outside of morbid curiosity, I definitely don't think I'm interested in joining the company. But, I mean, yeah, I got to know.
Well, I don't put a lot of weight in Glassdoor reviews anyway. And I can speak as an employer who was once tasked to get something off Glassdoor. They don't remove crap from their site. There was something that was just inflammatory, wrong, etc. And I was tasked to try and get it off, and I just got absolutely nowhere. So they do not remove reviews. So it's,
well, that's their whole shtick. It's like, here, leave a review. We cannot be influenced. We cannot change it. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, so they, you say, know what? Some,
right.
Glassdoor irritated me. I did go on Glassdoor. I mentioned to y'all offline, my daughter got a full-time job. So I went on Glassdoor to see their reviews. But because I hadn't left a review or done anything on Glassdoor, it wouldn't let me do anything until I left a review or did something on Glassdoor. So I've made up some phony BS, which is exactly what I'm betting a lot of other people are doing. Just put some BS out there that will just allow them to get out there. And hey, if I'm having a good old time, hey, oh yeah, they made us drop our pants and do tribal dances around a fire while sacrificing a goat.
That sounds amazing.
Whatever you...
Are they hiring?
Yeah. What is their 401k yes. like? Because I'm looking.
I can be swayed.
Well, you had, I had one more thing, and the show order we're going in right now is all jacked up. So the last released episode, I'll say, was my solo episode. And in there I read, which was absolutely sucked, and I apologize to the listening audience for that, as I thought that was pretty darn awful. I need somebody to feed off of. I need to be able to see in real time or hear someone smile or laugh or give me some reaction to something I say. But it was tough. But the writer, Stephanie was her name, wrote about the reasons why people didn't want to return to the office. And I came up with another, and it goes back to poop HR. Bathrooms. The company bathrooms, between the cheapest single-ply toilet paper and just the overall cleanliness and using your common sense when using the restroom is crazy. That's another reason I would add to that list of why people wouldn't want to return to the office. And and I'm going to try and pull up my notes from a couple of, from that episode, but what other things would you think? And I'll just go over. So if you didn't listen to the episode, boss announced work from home was ending. Everybody had to come in. And some of the reasons he cited were this was important for interpersonal relationships, collaboration. The president missed seeing their smiling faces, and they had to justify their new building that they just moved into or whatever. And some of the replies that she got were, I can't come back to the offices. I need to buy all new clothes. My dogs will misbehave because of separation anxiety. I need a large raise because I haven't had to pay for childcare in 2 years. I can't because I moved to Kansas during the pandemic. I just painted my home office. I took a second full-time job, and I can't do that while if I'm not working from home. And then the final one, which was, or it wasn't her final, but I moved to the final. I don't miss the interpersonal relationships or collaboration. but what other reasons would either of y'all have?
It's unnecessary.
People.
Yep.
I would say the biggest one for me, commuting, the stress of getting out the door, especially like with family and kids, awful. Yeah, sunshine. I take, when I have to go to the office, I take what I call my sunshine breaks, and I literally just stand at the glass and look outside for 5 minutes. Because, yeah.
You can.
Because I can.
Because you can. So mine is really, really simple. It's two words. Gas prices. Like, the 6% you threw me, barely, not
six?
Even, covered fucking inflation. So what are you going to give me for the gas prices? So I'm real grateful that your bathrooms are nice and you got to justify your building. I have to justify eating. And I can't pay to eat and pay to drive in this economy. So there you go.
That's a big one.
Yeah, the gas prices. I've mentioned before, I commute about an hour, and I'm getting ready to move next year. To my commute will be about an hour and a half one way, and that's going to be a big, big thing for me, that more so than now. But Jan, one of the things we wanted to talk about also was this little professional membership organization's having a tiny little get together in New Orleans very soon. I don't know if you heard about that.
Someone mentioned something to me trying to put, oh, that's right. I get 90,000 emails every day about it. Yeah. Sherm is going back to New Orleans. Fun. I did attend, is it 2018 down there? I think 2018 was in New Orleans and I did go. And this year, man, they are really topping the tone deaf charts, bringing back the president that screwed the FEMA Katrina response sideways as a keynote speaker, President George W.
Wow.
The Dubs is going to New Orleans.
Nice.
Probably to get tarred and feathered. And I kind of want to see that, but I was telling Warren earlier offline that Sherm is tone deaf. I mean, really, really cat on a trash can singing in an alley tone deaf, but this takes the cake. I don't have words. I really don't.
They're not catering to New Orleans residents. They want all the people to pay their $1,700 to come from all over the country to New Orleans. But not they don't care too much about the folks or the companies in New Orleans right now. They just want, you know, I can't imagine. I saw the early registration was like $1,700, and I could be a little bit off here. And then you got to pay for your hotel and flight and everything else. You're really looking at $3,000 or more.
Easy to
attend this conference. And yet the vendors are all paying to be there. There's no shortage of advertisers there. And then then they're doing a virtual one as well. I still think that you can pay a couple hundred dollars to attend virtually, but
I think it's more than that. I don't know.
I trashed the email, so I don't see. I see of the 20 Sherm emails I get a day, most of them get trashed. One actually, in the recent past, actually had an article I did read, and I actually got something out of. But we're talking one out of that had something useful for me there. So, but as I sit here drinking my drink in my Sherm tumbler, and I can't line it up with the thing here, as I renewed my membership, I was like, screw, I saw they're offering one of the junky emails. Hey, we're offering you this Yeti tumbler.
That's what gets you.
I'm like, that's what. Well, for 20 years, I've been getting these dumbass tote bags. And I've got.
That's fair.
I give them to Goodwill as soon as I basically get them. They're not as good as like the BJ's Club bags or anything like that. They're just, you know, they're useless. So they go to Goodwill, and I've given any number of them to Goodwill over the years. But Jane was telling me that some people don't even get their totes. I'm like, I didn't even want my tote really when I got it.
It's a running joke on the community that if they're advertising to, and you never get it, like ever. I think I got one, and I ended up giving it away to somebody because they're like, oh, I've renewed so many times and I haven't. I was like, just send me your address. So Warren, I have a question. If I send you a not Sherm approved mug, will you stop paying for the goddamn Sherm membership? Like, is that what it's going to take?
No, I my employer pays for it. So I was due in May, and I got the notification that if I renewed now, I'd get a tumbler. I'm like, hey, it's April, so I'll just wait. I'll just do it now rather than waiting till I get your membership's about to expire. Please don't leave us. Emails. Type of thing.
Thrown aside by a tumbler.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you hear JCT wrote a book? Did you know anything about that?
Yeah. That's
another thing I get a lot and a lot and a lot of. You know, I know you're jaded against him. I have no issues with it. He is what he is. But yeah. No issues on my end there.
Yeah. Well, when we get closer to the conference, I'll be releasing the not Sherm approved JCT GWB word bingo. So that'll be a treat for everybody playing along. So it'll be a drinking game. So every time they do something on the bingo card, you take a shot. And I figure, you know, 10,000 people or however many they lie that attend the conference, all completely smashed by 10 a.m. That should be a perfect compliment to New Orleans.
Hey, I mean, I love New Orleans. Where else can you get a drive-through daiquiri? Go through in your car, get a daiquiri to go in your car.
Of course. Yeah. Of course it's to go. I'm not going to drink it there.
Yeah, but no, I'm interested in if you want to remind people what you did last year with your tote bag at the, what, they were in Vegas, correct?
Oh, yeah. I sent a tote bag. I'm not popular enough for anyone to have seen it, but I sent a Not Sherm approved tote bag with a friend of mine who was going down there, and we ran a contest. If you saw the bag, take a picture, tag yourself, tag the account, and you'll win some swag. But then I just ended up giving away swag because nobody submitted anything. So
yeah.
So this year we're going to take things to a little bit higher of a level, a little more disruption. But that's about all I can say because, you know, I'm already half shadow banned on Instagram because I'm pretty sure Sherm's paying to silence me.
Well, I'm looking forward to hear what antics you have. And also in that solo episode, I talked keywords, and disrupt is one of my least favorite keywords because what's disruptive is not generally disruptive, but I got a feeling you're up to some shenanigans.
I aim to misbehave. Don't you worry.
I solemnly swear.
That's right. I solemnly swear I'm getting thrown out of this conference.
I'm up to no good. There we go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so buzzwords we hate. Like, I definitely want to get into this because I have a whole ass list.
Well, I've got time, and then I did, I don't know, it looks like 20 in that solo episode, but...
which we clearly listened to, Warren. You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Which, you know, we it's getting an average number of downloads, but I tell you, when I'm listening to it to edit, it's completely different than listening to it in the car when I'm actually not editing it.
Let's just listen to it at like three times speed.
Yeah, well, but I'm actually listening for the content versus editing out all my stupidness when I'm talking. So anyhow,
did you capture new normal?
Yeah, that was the first one I had.
Ugh, God, it's the worst.
Yeah, worst. New normal. That's so old. The great what the ever, you know, resignation, reshuffle, reorganization, blah.
Yeah. Let's take it offline.
Oh, I didn't have that.
Oof. Like, no one gets offline. Everyone has their little demon box in their hands, like, 24/7. So let's take this off. No. Try something else. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's bury that one.
Let's see. I threw out there disrupt, empower. I'm getting over empower because it's not empowering anymore. of course, DEI and culture, because they've been so bastardized by the salespeople that the words mean nothing anymore.
Did you, we're all family here?
No, I did not get we're all family.
Yeah.
One thing that I didn't put on here, which I want to, I need to, I wanted, I thought about after the fact, was whole self, in terms of bring your whole self to work. I don't want your whole self. I want your self that shows up to work, does what you're supposed to do, shuts your mouth, and keeps your drama at home.
Thinking of like job advertisements, the wear many hats.
Oh, many hats.
This means like you do your job and other people's jobs too, so they don't have to pay somebody else.
Right. fast-paced environment.
Yes, fast. That's a good one.
Right. Yeah. Self-starter.
Hiring rock stars.
Oh yeah, hiring rock stars and paradigm shift.
I love paradigm shift.
Anything with shift. Ugh.
That was the name of my group in one of my business school classes.
Paradigm shift. I put pivot in the list. You know, too much of
pivot. One. Yeah.
Pivot. Unless it's on Friends, pivot. I hate the word pivot.
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 So bandwidth. No, I didn't have. I that use that on
all
my,
the. I actually use that at work all the time. We had a director at one point that loved talking about like your bandwidth and what was some of the other ones? Parking spot. Well, that's a parking
we'll
spot.
We'll park this discussion.
Yeah, we're gonna park this one. And they want to know how much bandwidth you have.
We're gonna put a pin
have.
In that. Think outside the box. Low-hanging fruit.
Outside the box was one of my phrases, because you've got some sort of constraint, whether it's a financial constraint, whether it's an abilities constraint. You have some sort of constraint you have to stay in, unless you're Elon Musk and go and buy Twitter just for the hell of it. You've usually got some sort of constraint that is keeping you in the box. Synergy was another one of mine. I can't stand that one.
Low-hanging fruit.
I didn't put that one up. Hacks, life hacks, work hacks.
Oh, yeah. Everything's a hack.
Most of them don't take any less time. They don't save you time there. So.
Well, you have to remember them. I mean, it's like... The only life hack I ever remember is ripping my cupcake in half and smacking the frosting down on the other side. Cupcake sandwiches. That is the only life hack any of us will ever need.
There's a good life hack. I have another one, and it has to do with ears of corn. Don't ever shuck an ear of corn. Just take the whole damn thing in the husk and put it in the microwave for 4 minutes. And then you slice it and you squeeze it out, and it's perfectly steamed. There's no strings. That's a life hack for you. I read one of those life hack things, and that has changed my life. 4 minutes. Don't ever husk corn again or shuck corn. Just leave it in there.
Shuck corn. No corn.
4 minutes
going on here.
You cut the end off and you squeeze it out like toothpaste, and it just slides out. It's perfect.
I don't know when I've ever microwaved an ear of corn. I put it on the grill, boil it.
So you could, if you wanted to, you could do the same thing about you could grill it in the husk too. Just grill it, like really burn the husk, and it'll still do that same effect. It'll steam it inside. But if you just chuck it, you get all the strings everywhere. You do it this way, there's no strings.
Ooh, the corn silk.
I'm really passionate about my corn on the cob. So
very, very clearly, very clearly.
Well, everybody, I don't have anything else on my list for today. Does anybody have anything else to add?
Just living the dream, Warren.
Yep.
And I've just also noticed while listening to a couple episodes, we've not been giving a best practice in a long time. That's a tradition Patrick started with episode one, and I need to get back onto it. And I haven't come up with one yet. So
I have one for you.
Okay.
Are you going to do that now?
No. I'm coming up. I think we're about to land this plane.
We're done. Patrick, take us out.
I found this thread. It was like different Homerisms from The Simpsons. And it was just like a beautiful quote. And for whatever reason, it just made me happy. It said, "Just because I don't care doesn't mean I don't understand."
I really
enjoyed that.
That is a best practice. I think that's also the title of our show.
I agree. That is perfect.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's all we have for you today. Before we go out, we want to once again thank the Underscore Orchestra for the use of the theme song Devil the Devil, and thank Andrew Culpa for creating our disclaimer. So, as always, I'm Warren.
And I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jan.
And we're all helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time.